Good morning, everybody. Will you just shake somebody next to you and say, "You, I love that smile on your face." Some of us forget a little bit to smile when we come to church. But thank you, Pastor Mario and his wife Celeste and Pastor Andres and Lisa. I think I've known Pastor Andres for 15 years now, and it's just great for them to be here in Hermanos and for what God has been doing. And it's just amazing to see how two churches have come together to see the kingdom of God being established in this whole area. I know lots of us are here on holiday. So you want to say this morning, talk to me about December and not surrender. But we're going to trust God is going to work in our hearts as He's already started. And I know it's very hot in here, so please just take one breath out of 4 seconds so that you don't steal somebody else's breath. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your life this morning. We thank you that we have come here not for the opinion of man. And we have not come here, Lord, to have our ears, Lord, hear what we want to hear. But we want to know you. And we want to see you. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your fragrance and that Holy Spirit, that you are the breath of God and the wind of God and the life of God in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you lift the veils, Lord. Thank you that the doors and the rooms in our houses, Lord, that have been shut, Lord, and it's been closed for a while, Lord. Today we want to open up the curtains. We want to open up the doors and the windows so that your fresh breath can just blow through our lives. And we want to thank you, Lord, for that place where we can know you and just say we are hungry and we're thirsty for your kingdom in our lives. But more than that, Lord, is to know you intimately. And to surrender our whole being, our whole heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you know, when you look somebody in the eyes, somebody's eyes will tell you a lot about what they're going through, what they've experienced. Sometimes you see, and I remember going to India, in the northern parts of India, 3 years ago in Varanasi. Has anybody been to Varanasi? But Varanasi is quite a tough place. It's sort of the birthplace of Buddhism and Hinduism, and the Hindus believe that if you would, you know, throw your body into the river, in the Ganges River there, then you'll go straight to heaven. And what will happen with many bodies or corpses, they'll burn it. There's these burning ghats. They'll physically burn the bodies, and I'll never forget that day walking down to this river. And thinking, you know, we're going to see some things there and all that stuff. And then when we got down there, we were met with a whole group of American, amazing people, but very new agey, the people that dance around and wave all their stuff, because they were also going to go to the place of enlightenment. But I'll never forget walking down those stairs, going down, seeing the little kids play here and brush their teeth on the one side, and there's a corpse, a dead man lying about a meter and a half from the people there that's just like bathing and brushing their teeth. And then suddenly all these, you know, big American, you know, feel-good enlightenment people, they just turned around immediately. They thought like, we're not going to bath in this river. Everybody may tell us it's holy, but there's nothing holy to this. And they just turned around, they walked straight back to their hotel, you know. And but then we had to go on, so we got into this little boat and we drove on this boat on the river, and we got to a place where you have to get off, and there's all this like corpses that they're carrying there and all these things. And I'll never forget the sight of these ladies, and there were a lot of ladies sitting on the hills there, about 150 or 200 of them, but they were waiting to die, because there's a saying, and for many of the Hindus priest, that if your husband dies, then you must also die. So they literally starved to death. And seeing this place and looking in the eyes of these women, trying to tell them, look here, you are deceived. This, you know, there's actually reality. There's actually life. And them just really believing that this is life. They, you know, they're going to come back in a better life or a better way. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful in that sense, but I'll never forget their eyes, looking in their eyes and seeing the death. It's almost like they're not these living people there, but there's no life in them, because their eyes were like dead. And my invitation, and I believe God wants all of us this morning to just afresh look Him in the eyes. Do you know what Revelation talks about when it comes to Jesus? It says He's the one with fire in His eyes. I'm going to tell you another story, and then we're going to read a couple of scriptures when we talk about the real Jesus. That's the only thing I like talking about, the real gospel and the real Jesus, because so many people have moved away from seeing God and knowing God, and we want these add-ons. We want these things around God. We even look for miracles many times, and we want to travel all over the world because it's easier to get a set of rules into our lives and have sort of keep God from a distance. But the moment when you and your wife that are married look each other, your wife, obviously you're married to your wife, but in any case, so you know, when you have to sit down and you have to have that eye-to-eye, face-to-face talk, you have to look somebody in the eyes, and now we have to talk about what really happened and what did you say and why did you say never. Those are difficult moments. But if you are on the other side and you're in love with your wife and you come home, then you know what? She doesn't need to say anything. You can immediately see what the kids, you know, how many times she wanted to kill the kids this day, what has happened, you know, because her whole body language and her eyes will tell you. If you know somebody, you don't need to say a lot of words because you have seen. And so it's so important. If you go to the Middle East, and you can ask Gideon, he was there with us. We met a lady there that her best friend had a dream one night. And she was a Muslim imam woman. Okay, so Muslims also have women ministering or sort of Muslim priests. And she had a dream one night of standing in an open field. And there was a man walking past her in a white robe. And she said there was just something gracious about this man. This man walked past her, and then he came around and he came to stand right in front of her. And then what he did is he gave her a hug, and he sort of just put his arms around her. And the moment when he did that, she said she was like completely naked, but she was not ashamed. She just knew that this man knew something about her and about her life. And so he disappeared. She woke up and she couldn't understand, but there was this mysterious man. The next night she had another dream. She dreamt this man came walking past again, and then he came to stand right in front of her again. And he looked her straight in the eyes. And then she said to him, "I am thirsty." And then he gave her a cup of water. And she said as she drank it, there was a golden cross at the bottom of this cup. But now she's not heard a lot about Jesus. She's like on a mission doing some other things. And the third night she woke up, and she felt there's a hand going underneath her pillow. So she almost got like, had a bit of a shock. And she woke up and she thought like, what's happening? And then she sat up and put on the light, and there was nobody in the room, because she felt like there's somebody walked into the room. And then what she did is she took her hand, she put it under the pillow, and then she saw a massive cross, like a literal, not a figurative, a literal cross, a golden cross out of pure gold underneath her pillow. She took it, and then she realized that the man in the white robe is Jesus Christ and was Jesus Christ. And she said the only thing she remembers was the fire in his eyes. The fire in his eyes. It says, like almost a whole life just passed by when she saw him for who he really was. And that's so important, that at a morning like this, when Jesus comes to stand before us, and we have all the story of the year, what has happened in our lives. Some of us may have had tough years. Some of us may have had great years. But all of us, I trust there's one word you will not use, is the word regret. Now or at the end of your life, that you will regret nothing. Because if you know Jesus, then everything that happens to you becomes an opportunity to become more Christ-like. Everything in your life that comes against you, whether it's the devil, whether it's your circumstance, whether it's God, it's an opportunity to grow closer to God. But we always have a choice. Are we going to come closer to Him, or are we going to run away? Are we going to try to do things in our own strength? Turn to your neighbor and say, that smile on your face, I checked you out, it's really looking good. Because some of you are like really like out there, okay? Now Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believes." You know, so many people want to preach a lot of things around the gospel, but we have become afraid to preach the real gospel. And that's what I'm doing here this morning. And I'm going to do just very quickly, just 3 hours, and then we'll be finished. Okay, so. Okay, lock the doors, lock the doors. Okay, out there. But Paul writes this, says, you can either be shameful of the gospel or you cannot be ashamed. But the reason why you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you found it as the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, not just here being born again and going to heaven, but a life of transformation and a life of getting to know God. So the gospel that we have is so powerful, and we must never stop preaching it, and we must never add anything or take anything away. The methods on how we're going to do stuff, that's going to change. Sometimes we're going to have a band up here. Sometimes we're going to have an oral up here. Sometimes, I don't know, Andres, are we going to have an oral up here? Just like, you know. But whatever we have, the methods change, but the message can never change. And so many Christians across the world, they're walking away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're either diluting it or throwing lots of other stuff with it. But if you take a bottle of water like this and you throw 1% arsenic acid in here, you are going to die. Although this other 99% is pure. Would you agree with me? Okay, I'm going to teach you a new word because you are very spontaneous, and thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Okay, it's called Chona Machantas. Okay, shake your neighbor and say Chona Machantas. Okay, in Afrikaans, it means goeie tye. Okay, so whenever you're going to seem like you're going to want to fall asleep, I'm going to say to you, say that word, and then we're going to go for it. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we must know the center of the gospel that we preach. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, if I determined to do something, I set my heart on it. I set my focus. I set my goal, my life on it. It says, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Paul writes, he says, look, we can talk about a lot of things this morning and in our lives, but I have determined, I've set my road, I've set my life on this one goal, that I want to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to know Him in His fullness. So the cross, many times what we have, we sing all these songs, these beautiful songs about the cross. Oh, I love you for the cross. And those are beautiful songs. But the cross has got one message. It's the message of death. There is nothing beautiful about the cross. The cross is a place of shame, of God taking guilt. It's an ugly place. It's a place of death. It's what's on the other side of the cross that changes our lives. But we have to come to the cross. We have to come to that place where we realize that it was an ugly scene. You know, the whole word excruciating pain comes from one place, ex out of the cross. It was not a little, you know, we hang the stuff around our necks and we think like, oh, you know, but we haven't got a clue what pain and what suffering Jesus went through on the cross. It's excruciating. There was nothing like that. There's no way, no greater pain that any person could ever go through than what Jesus did on the cross. And so, Paul determines, he says, I've set my road. The center of this gospel, the center of my life, is very simply, is the cross of Jesus Christ and what He came to do. And I want to challenge, especially believers that have been walking a road with God, the moment when you stop losing focus on the joy of your salvation, on what Jesus did on the cross, then you're deceived and I'm deceived. The moment when we try to run after other things and we don't become more thankful for what God has done on the cross, we've just set our road on something else. I love what Bayless Conley, that preached at our Convergence conference, he said, he's got one rule. I drove him from his place where he stayed, and he said he's got one rule in his life. He said the moment when he wakes up one day and he stops crying about his salvation and what Jesus did for him on the cross, then he's going to step out of ministry. Because then he's lost focus of why he's here. And see, so many times what we start to do is we become professional Christians. Because we know all the right things and we do all the right things, but we lose the center of the cross of what God came to do for us and what He came to do for the world. So that cross puts certain demands on us. Now it's time for you to say that word. Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. So when we come to this life of Jesus, I'm talking about the real Jesus and the real gospel, we have to come back to that place of just knowing Him and crying out to Him. You know, we don't get it too often, but we really hear people preach about the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus Christ and the demand of the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, there's something supernatural. The scripture says there's a witness in the heavens today of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something witnesses, there's a testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why from the Old Testament on, we could see they put it on the doorposts of their homes, of their families, so that the death angel would pass over. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks. And when we start to take communion and when we start to live from that place of covenant, because it's a word that's lost to the modern church, a place where we can know what real relationship is about until death do us part. But you know, in South Africa, and I'm not trying to belittle it, everybody goes through stuff, but 50% of people get divorced today. Because the world has crept into the church. We've lost covenant values and family values and what relationship is about. So we just do exactly as Christians. We do exactly what the world does. No, it's just easy. Let's just walk away. Because it's just easier. Hello. But when we understand that value, it means that we something has happened. An exchange has happened. The moment when I go to the shop and I buy a peppermint like this, and I exchange and I give them, what's this worth? 1 rand for the peppermint. And I pay for this peppermint. Then the moment when this peppermint comes to me and I pay for it, then you know what? This peppermint becomes my possession. I take ownership of this peppermint. This peppermint can't jump around and say, "Ooh, I don't want to be eaten. I don't want to be eaten." Then he runs around and he goes all over the stage, and they, you know, and I have to chase around because now the peppermint is pepper crawling and pepper all that stuff all over the place. The peppermint has just become my possession. Why? Because I bought it at a price. So what happens? I'm its lord. I'm its owner. That's the word curious. I can do with this peppermint what I want to. I can eat it. I can throw it away. I can do with that peppermint whatever I want to. But you know how many times when it comes to the Bible and to God, oh, the peppermint is still alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, the peppermint in you is still alive. Okay? Thank you for your enthusiasm. But here it says in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were paid for. And you know what? Once God has taken ownership of your life and my life, we don't really have a choice anymore. Too many people say God has got a plan for your life. No, God has got no plan for your life. He's got no plan for my life. God has got a plan. And He invites us to be part of that plan. He invites you to come and sign up for His plan. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Hello? If He can use a donkey, yes, He can use you and He can use me. Hello? I'll never forget it. You know, we sometimes God uses opportunities to humble us. And my wife and I, Louise, we just got married, and we were living in Stellenbosch. And when you have got, you know, when you're so in love, but you have got no finances because now you don't have a dad or a mom that pays for you, all the students and young people, please just appreciate all that money that you spend. But in any case, so after, I think it was the 3rd month into our marriage, we had absolutely nothing, and then we had no finances left as well. Around about the 20th of the month, I'll never forget it. I walked out and out of our little house. We stayed at the back of another house. And I said, God, I like meat. You know, I like real meat, not salad or anything like that, you know. And so God said He's going to provide for us. And so as I walked out and walked around, you know, I was thinking like, yo, you know, this is going to be amazing. There's, you know, this guy was standing there. This is like a guy that didn't know God. He sweared every second word. So I was thinking, I'm going to get contaminated by this guy. You know, and he was smoking like a chain smoker. I thought it was a car's exhaust, you know, that blew out the fumes. Meanwhile, is this guy smoking. And so I'm just walking past, and I say, hey, how are you doing? Who are you? And he said, no, he's waiting for his brother next door. And to make a long story short, after the second time I walked past him, he said to me, do you want meat? I said, what? He said, do you want? But he said it almost like there was an undercover something happening, you know. I said, what? What did you just say? He says, with all the smoking going on, do you want meat? I said, no thank you. I'm all right, you know. So I walked back into the house. And as I walked into the house, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't reject the means and even the people that I will send to you to bless you, because I can use anybody. So I turned around, walked out again. Excuse me, what did you say? Yeah. He said, he doesn't know why, but when I walked past, he got this idea popping into his head that he must give meat to me. And then he opened up his boot. He said, because his father, who had a Karoo choppy plas, they walk around like choppies, not like sheep, you know, gave him like 2 sheep, and he doesn't know what to do with all the meat, so I can take as much as I want to. So I just like, whoa, yeah. I just loaded the fridge, I loaded everything that could be loaded, I buried some of the meat in the ground so it will grow like trees and come up like meatballs later. And no, that's an attack. But that taught me such a valuable lesson. That God can use anybody in any way. But we're going to talk about that. He needs humble people who understand the value of the blood of Jesus. The second thing, quickly, the demand of the gospel is true repentance. In 1 John 1, verse 7 to 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There cannot be a real relationship with God without proper repentance. And repentance means turn back from where you are. Turn back from that road that you have determined to walk on. Turn back onto the road facing God. Repentance is the word metanoia, 180 degrees turn. You have to stop. Nobody likes to talk about sin anymore, but sin is sin. Hell is hell and heaven is heaven, and it's real. And everything we do in this life will have an effect on eternity in our hearts and where we're going to end up. People don't talk about hell anymore. Christians especially, because we need to be tolerant. Why do you talk about hell? There's so many visitors in church. But I want to tell you, hell is real. Go to Varanasi and you'll find out hell is real. People die daily. And you know what? The worst death is when you're not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you could not stand before Him free and forgiven because of His life that He offered to us. So repentance means a change of action, of mind. It's not remorse. It's not a feeling where you feel bad about what you've done wrong. It's simply a turning back to God. The third thing that this gospel demands of us is a denying of self. Ooh. Scripture says that in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Say, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We love the things that we own. We love the houses that we live in. We love the stuff. Because why? The stuff gives us comfort, security, and makes us to be in control of our lives. But like Pastor Mario read, Jesus says in Matthew 16, like that seed that must die, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Not deny the world, deny yourself. Deny the fleshly desires. Take up your cross. And the cross is not an easy life. It's not a, let's drink pineapple drinks with Jesus every morning and feel good about ourselves. The cross is not a nice thing to carry. It's a burden that you carry for lives around you, people around you. And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? A deep question. What will you give in exchange for your soul this morning? Because you and I can pretend. We can do a lot of stuff. But when we facing Jesus, and Jesus stands in front of us and he says, okay, let's talk about you. What's going on in your heart? Can you be real with him? You can jump up and down. I can do all the big things and tell you all these great stories, but you know what? In the end, it's about one thing. Have you lived a life to please him? Are you here to please Jesus Christ? Is he your best friend? Madam at the back, is he your best friend? I want to ask you. Do you love him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul? Guy there at the back that thinks, yeah, I'm going to first sort out my life. I'm first going to live my life. Young man there at the back, do you think that yeah, you're going to please the world? You're going to please the things? What do you want to please? What do I want to please? But when we come to that place where we say, God, I only want to please you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for your righteousness. You're the only one. We heard it this morning. Pastor Lisa said it. God says he's the only one that can satisfy you. Because you can live here and go around, but if you don't spend time with God while you're here on holiday, do you know what? He's not going to bless you. He can't. Let me say something. I heard it. It's from somebody that preached long ago, and he said, you will only reproduce what you are intimate with. You will only reproduce. You will only produce what you are intimate with. If you're intimate with the world, you will produce the world things, the things of the world, and your flesh will reign. But if you're intimate with God, you'll start to live that life. Time to say that word again. Chonamachantas. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about somebody out there today. Come on. Because it's getting very quiet. Everybody's thinking about their pudding and all that. Now, I really want to say it's not a problem for us to have fun, but don't exclude God out of your fun and out of your holiday. Please don't. Invite him with. Spend time with him. Fill your tank. But how do you fill your tank? By being in the Word. By coming to the place of surrender to him. By consecrating your year to him and say, God, don't want a year like 2013 again, please. Lord, 2014, my hope is in you. But be honest, be real. You know, if you've got children, children are very real. Have you noticed that? They would walk into a situation and they would embarrass you all the time. They would tell it as it is. How many parents in the room? Raise your hands. You can't hide from them. There is no way. The other day, Josh said, my son, I've got three children, my son said, no, he's not. He's going to grade one next year. He said, no, he's not going to learn to read and to write because he's going to play. I said, oh. He said, he's going to play for the rest of his life. Yeah. And I was thinking, and then he came up to me and there was lots of friends visiting us. And he said, now in front of all the friends, you know, now I'm the pastor, you know. So he said, this is what he told all the friends. No, the only reason why I beat my dad with the rugby and everything is because he drinks too much Coke. Okay, repent. Repent, you know. But it's amazing when you're around children that life is real for them. Everything they experience, there's an abundance, and they don't worry about tomorrow. And Jesus says, if you want to see me, you have to become childlike. Because the world wants to steal that innocence, that purity, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5. Now the ability for us, why do we lose that ability to play? Why do we lose that? Because the world throws stuff at us, worries and circumstances and things, and then we become hard. It's for one thing, it's to harden your heart towards God and towards other people. And then we keep them at a distance, because that's easier to do it like that. But God said everything in our life is designed for one thing, for you to become more Christ-like. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself. And if you want to become Christ-like, that is your purpose in life. If you didn't know that, is to become like Jesus Christ. To reflect him. The greatest compliment anybody can ever give you is to say that you remind them of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said it like this about humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And then the last slide, are you still all right? This is just all part of the introduction for the morning. We're going to get into the sermon now. Are you all right? The people at the back, just wave at me there at the back. Are you still all right? Okay. Just if you haven't bathed yesterday, then just do it like this, okay? Because listen to this. The one, the realization, once we come to this place of surrendering and we know that Jesus is the center and that there's a demand on our lives, we don't possess our lives anymore. You don't possess your emotions and you don't possess this body anymore. It becomes a sacrifice to God. It becomes a way of living. It becomes a place where you say, God, I want to become a living way for you, a living testimony for you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. My question this morning is, do people marvel when they look at your life and when they look at my life? Do they say, wow, there's something different about her? Do they stand in amazement, not about your achievements and your success, but something about your heart, the innocence and the purity that comes from your heart? Do they stand and they stop and they say, whoa, there's something different about him? And after they marveled when they saw the boldness of these people to just share about Christ and who Christ was, they realized one thing. Not that they had fancy doctrines, went to a fancy church, went to fancy mission trips, or anything like that. They realized one thing about these men. They realized that they had been with Jesus. My question this morning to us is, when last have you been with Jesus? When last have you sat face to face with him and told him your heart? Told him all your worries? Came to just break before him and unburden your life before him and say, God, here I am. I don't even know how. But all I know is that you're real. Do people marvel at your life? That's why he came. And so in 2 Timothy, Paul charges Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. It's not talking about the crayfish season, yeah? It's talking about the word. Always being ready to give an account of your life because you want to please him. You're living in eternity already. And that's what I love about the first disciples. They said, Maranatha. That's how they greeted each other. They said, our Lord Jesus, come today, tonight. We live with an urgency. We live with an expectation. And we live as if every day is our last day. I'm going to end off with one story, and then we're going to look just at Jesus' identity, some of the words. But I want you to show them that little clip. There's a lady who was blind, and she connected with God. But let's hear her testimony, and then we're gonna pray for each other. And we're going to trust that God is going to break the hardness of our hearts so that it can become soft again.
Grass is soft, like the angel hair pasta, kind of, grass kind of resembles that. I guess, just, I don't know. I've been blind since birth. I have a disease called Leber's congenital amaurosis. People often ask me, you know, is it hard being blind? Is it scary? It's not. It's just a normal way of life for me. There was a time in my life when I was angry about being blind. I was very into makeup and trying to look my best. I really wanted to look in the mirror and see what I looked like, but I couldn't. The Lord spoke to me and He told me that I am beautiful on the inside and that I don't have to worry about what I look like on the outside, and that He is the only one who can tell me what I look like. The mirror can't. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit of a burden to people.
See you right in front of you, girl.
Sometimes I wish I didn't really need that much help. I wish that I didn't have to rely on them.
Okay, got everything, Miss?
Yep.
All right, we're on the
side. I'll break too. If I could see, I don't think my faith would be as strong. Because for a blind person, you have to rely on the Lord. It's like your faith becomes more real because you're used to not seeing things. You're used to believing in someone that you can't see. Like, for example, my mom, I can't see her. I may be able to hear her, but even if I couldn't, I can't see her. But I know she's there. So for me, I think it's easier to know and to understand that though I can't see God, He's really there. I think it has a lot to do with walking by faith and not by sight. I have this desire to help people, but I feel like being blind sort of limits me as to what I can do. But the reality is, God has given me a gift of singing for Him and leading worship. And I feel like that's my way of helping people. And I'm grateful for that. I have so much joy and so much anticipation because I know that the first face I'm ever going to see is Jesus, and that means the world to me.
You see, when we want to look at the mirror of our lives, the mirror can't tell us, and people will never be able to tell you. Only God can. Only God can look straight into your heart and tell things and speak things over you that you cannot believe even yourself. But that's when you are face to face with Him. That's when you and I have learned to surrender and bring our whole lives to Him without trying to sort out your life before you come to Him, but you accept the offer of forgiveness and you accept the offer of salvation and you accept the offer that this one who has taken ownership and possession of your life, you can trust Him with everything inside of you. Maybe because he's proven who he is. He's a God of love, but he's also a holy. And there's some of us here this morning that must turn back to God because we've hardened our hearts. Sir, you've hardened your heart. And God has got an appointment this morning. Because as I was praying for this morning, I just know God came into our rooms. There's certain rooms in our lives and in our hearts. And he started to open up the curtains. Just so that light can shine into those rooms again. And then he went to the door and he opened up the door and he opened up the window so that the Holy Spirit can again blow the fragrance of Christ through our lives. And we may have lots of excuses. Say, God, no, I've tried that. Maybe you've even come here with a friend. But I tell you, God has got an appointment, a call. And there's an invitation going out. And that invitation is much bigger than just you surrendering your heart. It's an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's an invitation to become a pilgrim that will just walk through this life with eyes fixed on one. And his name is Jesus Christ. With eyes that long for that moment when you're going to meet your best friend and you're going to see him face to face. So is your heart breaking for the people around you that don't know him? Is your heart crying? When we were in Iran this year, you know, we went there and God said to us, He's gonna use us powerfully, and I'll never forget it. Sitting that morning, and then the Lord said, You're gonna pray with your tears today, you're not gonna pray with your words. Many hours later of just breaking before God, we realized, God, here's my life. Use it. Because I've got one desire. And you know, we in the West, we've got a very comfortable living, but that's our problem. It's a spirit of unbelief. We want to fix things ourselves, and then we want to invite Jesus in to come and help us in what we are doing. And this morning, there's an invitation where Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, is inviting you to say, come. I've already come down. I'm not going to step into your life. You must come and step into my life. You must come and take and live for me. It's an invitation to life. Since we are so surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Somebody standing at the end, at the finish line of your life. Many clouds of witnesses cheering you on today. But don't look to the one on the left, and don't look to the crowd. Run the race. Some of us here have grown tired of running the race. Because the world has thrown everything at us. And the Lord says, he wants to restore you. So that you only have eyes for him. And that's the invitation this morning. Because do you know what? We can play a lot of games and we can play a lot of church. And we can walk around and we can talk a lot of stuff. But when last did God hear you speak to him so clearly, so directly? And you say, God, here's my heart. Here's everything inside of me. Madam, lady, stop worrying about your kids. Look to Jesus first. He's the author and the finisher. He's finished the chapter. This is a word for some people. He's finished the chapter that you're busy with. Don't skip the chapter. Read it through. Look at him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. There's some people here, and this is the first group of people I want to pray with today, that are intensely lonely and depressed. And you will maybe not admit it, but if you really think of it, you just can't be alone, and there's so much stuff going on in your head. There's actually spirits of confusion. You've lost the joy of life, just of living. I want everybody to close their eyes. Because I want to start praying for those people today. Because Jesus is your Emmanuel. He's the God with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. some of us trapped in fears, trapped in stuff that are holding us down. And God says, I have not called you to walk this life alone. If that's you, I want you to quickly, where you're sitting, just raise your hand and say, that's me, because I want to start praying for you. Thank you, thank you. Lots of hands going up. Because if you really think of it, with all the busyness around you, all the stuff happening in your heart, there's some people that are desperately, desperately alone. They feel so lonely. You can have all the noises around you and try to fill up your life. But today we're going to pray again that you'll hear the voice of God saying, you're my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Father, right now I pray that Jesus, you walk through the chairs and you'll come to lift those burdens from people, Lord, that are struggling and fighting. Lord, that you'll come to break every yoke of slavery. We command those prison doors to open up. We command the oppressed to go free. In Jesus' name. I want you to open up your eyes because I'm going to read just this. And I trust you. As we're going to start to minister, I'm going to tell you the names of Jesus. So let's just skip those first couple of slides. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Mighty God. The Wonderful Counselor. The Sanctifier, the Root of David, the Word of Life. He's your Advocate. He's the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life, the Great Physician. He's the Author and the Finisher of our faith, the Ancient of Days, the Day Star, the Lord of all, the Son of God, the Gift of God. He's the Living Stone. He's the chief cornerstone of our house. He's the shepherd and the overseer of our soul. He's the King of Kings. He's the righteous judge. He's the light of the world. He's Emmanuel. He's your restorer. He's the head of the church. He's the bright morning star. He's the Rose of Sharon, the governor. He's the Son of Righteousness, our deliverer. He's our burden bearer. He's the Lion of Judah. He's even the rock of offense. Scripture says you must fall on him. He's the hope of glory, the hidden treasure, the root of Jesse. He's the city of refuge, the strong tower. He's the resurrection and our life. He's the faithful witness. He's the Prince of Life, the Messiah, the mind of God, the chief shepherd, the horn of salvation. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is our Amen. The one who completes and fills us all in all. Will you stand with me this morning? And I'm gonna ask us to do something very bold, because I know you haven't bargained for this, and this is not a bargain. This is a place of surrender. I don't mind if you're a pastor here. You know, every week I feel like I get saved all over again, because I'm just so amazed about the cross and what Jesus has come. And I say, God, all I want in this life is I want a real Jesus. I don't want a fake Jesus or a Jesus of my own making. When I turned to Jesus Christ on the 4th of April, 1989, there was a teacher at school. I walked up to him and I said to him, Mr. Smith, the Jesus that you serve and the Jesus that I serve is not the same Jesus. The one that you serve is real. The one that I serve is one of my own making, a one of religion that has a form of godliness, but there's no power. I went on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus Christ, the real one, I surrender my life to you. That was almost 25 years ago. Was it tough sometimes? Lots of times. Because the world wants to crush you. The world will hate you when you become a Christian. But the joy of your salvation, the joy of forgiveness, no man can offer you forgiveness and eternal life. And there's some of us today that must turn back to Jesus Christ. We must repent, because you've lost the flame in your heart for him. You must either be cold or either be hot. That's what Scripture says. There's no in-between with God. And you need to repent and just turn back to him. And it's as simple as confessing. It's as simple as saying to him, Jesus, I have determined to walk another road than the road of Christ. I've been opting out to make it easy. But today, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you again. I want to come onto your page, onto your invitation. So I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. If that's you, maybe you're not a Christian yet today, and for the first time you want to turn to God, then this is your opportunity. But I also especially want to talk to people that have lost the flame in your heart for God, that place of realness with Christ, through just the cares of this world and lots of other things. I'm going to ask you to die 1,000 deaths today and start to live the gospel, because you're not going to be able to fix it at home. You must fix it here, because now it's his time for invitation. I'm going to ask you to come to the front, because maybe there's just one person, maybe there's 50, maybe there's 500, I don't know. But God has been speaking today to you and says you cannot continue because you've determined to walk another road. Don't fix your life. Just come and surrender. And then what we're going to do is we're going to kneel down here in front, because we're just practicing heaven, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and say that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We just surrender our lives to him. And we say, yes, God, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of turning my heart back to you. If there's anybody like that, I want you to step out from where you are. Renew your wedding vows. Quickly, I want you to come. I want you to step out. I'm waiting for you, and I'm going to kneel here with you. Because maybe there's just one person. Well, every person that have got a flame in their heart, I want you to start praying. But today, if you want to turn back to God, I want you to come quickly. I want you to close your eyes, and if God is speaking to you, don't deny the voice of God. I want you to come quickly. I want you to come and stand here in front. And I want you to come and surrender your life to the call of God on your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I want you to come. Everybody be silent. You're either praying or you're becoming real to God. But I want you to come quickly. Just come. Step out from where you are. Because today it's not a game we're playing. Today it's about eternity in your heart. And if you've hardened your heart, I want you to come as well. Because we're just going to say to God, God, burn that flame inside of me again. I want you to come quickly. There's some more people. I'm waiting for you, because there's a war going on. And it's a war for your soul. Because the first thing you want to think is, what does the people around me think about what's happening right now? I want you to come. Some of you have never publicly confessed Jesus. That's why you're going like a seesaw, up and down. Just like up and down with God. And this morning, you need to publicly confess, Lord, I want you to take ownership of my life. If that's you, I want you to come out quickly. Just come out quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for your freedom in this place. I declare the prison doors to open up. I declare the year of jubilee over lives, over families, over hearts, to turn back to God, to turn back to Christ this morning. There's anybody else, I want you to come quickly. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand and come out. Just since there's war going on for one person, there's actually two people here. There's a massive war going on, and you don't feel worthy of responding. You think like, oh, I've been there before. But I want to tell you, God has set up this whole meeting just for you. I want you to come. Because Jesus' blood makes you worthy. Jesus' call makes us worthy. That's what the cross is about. Taking unworthiness and making us worthy. And if you're too shy, then take somebody's hand and say, look here, it feels like my knees are like jelly. Then today you surrender to God. The second group of people is those people. There's some people here that are struggling with loneliness and all that stuff, but you cannot sleep properly at night. You are really struggling to sleep properly. And there's about 9 people that need to respond to this specifically. Maybe there's more, but specifically there are 9 people here. And there's one lady that for the last 6 years, you have been struggling. You've been on medication, on and off. It's a massive spiritual battle for you, but you cannot sleep properly at night. You've got insomnia. And sometimes you wake up, that one lady specifically, you woke up at around about 2:15 this morning. And there's been a massive battle. I want to pray for that lady specifically that woke up this morning. If you're struggling to sleep, I want you to come out quickly and just join me on my left-hand side because we're going to pray for you. I want you to come quickly. And especially that lady, I want to pray for that lady before we're going to continue. So I want you to come out quickly, quickly, quickly. We don't have lots of time, but you're struggling. You have got no proper sleeping patterns. And it's been coming for a while. It's about 9 people. So I want you to come. Those 9 people, don't you know who you are? Just come quickly. 1, are you also with the sleeping? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, then we need about another 2 or 3 people that respond. You know that God is speaking to you. I want you to come, and maybe there's even more, but I want you to come quickly. Who's the lady? Is there a lady that can respond to that specific word that woke up this morning? One of you ladies. Is that you? Did you wake up this morning? Okay. And what did you feel? Did you break up? I want us to stretch out our hands. There's just a demonic assignment. We're going to pray for Alita, that God breaks the yoke of slavery. Father, when she woke up this morning and those voices came to her, Lord, it's like dogs and wolves shouting and barking at her. But in Jesus' name, we cancel that over Alita's life. We break every yoke of slavery in Jesus' name, and we command every demonic power to set her free. Let go of her mind. Let go of the attack on her life in Jesus' name. And we command you to let go of her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your release of peace over her, God. Thank you that she's beautiful and that she is your daughter. And Lord, every hold right now, Lord, that the devil has tried to do in these last 6, 7 years, Lord. Lord, even every Lord, witchcraft thing, Lord, that people have sent assignment and spoken curses over her, Lord, and just broken down relationships, we cancel that over her life and over her family in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that life right now. I want you to pray just for a moment, and I want some of the small group leaders, I want you to just come and help us to pray. There's another group of people. Okay, the church service has just started. Okay, there's another group of people. You have got this. There's wayward people. That's the word I got. There's family members of you that have run away. And there's a massive burden on your life to either pray for them, but there's you're really carrying very heavy on some family members that have run away, that you really want them even in this time to be with you, but you're struggling, and it's really a hardship that you're going through. I want you to step out quickly because we're going to pray a prayer of faith, that those family members will start to contact you, will start to come back. I want you to come and stand right here next to the stage because we're going to pray a prayer of faith. There's some of you that's carrying, and there's a couple of mothers that's carrying some burdens for family members, and we as a family, as the church, must carry it with you today. So we're going to pray a prayer of faith. I want you to come and just stand in line. Will you just stand in line, yeah? Because we're gonna just pray, because Scripture says if one member of the family suffers, we all suffer. Okay, but there's some of you that must come and bring that burden to God today of wayward people. That's the word I got. Just that ran away. They're not with you at the moment. And they just, there's lots of breakdown of relationship stuff. And we're going to call them by faith, okay? And if you know some of these people, I want you to come out and come and stand with them because we're going to pray a prayer of faith. But as you're going to do that, we're going to just pray with these guys, okay? That came up first. I want us all to pray together. As if we come to Jesus for the first time. Is that all right? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. I want us to pray out loud as if we come to Christ for the first time. I pray this prayer every day. Okay, not just with other people, but for myself. So let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, I come to you today and I repent of trying to save myself. And I turn back from the road that I have determined to walk on. And today, I turn to you. I repent of my sins. And I ask, Lord, that you will forgive me and wash me clean for trying to be in control of my own life, trying to save myself. Jesus, you're the only Savior. I turn to you and I look to you. Give me a new life and give me a new heart. Set my heart aflame for you so that I will live only to please you, only to see you, and only to know you. I thank you for your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Just pray again. Lord, I thank you that I step into eternity today. And I want to know you for who you really are. In Jesus' name. Bless you, God. We just thank you. Just thank you for this moment, God. There's somebody here that's afraid of death. I don't know if you've got cancer, but there's also blood disease and blood stuff that's going on. There's like a, I don't know if it's an infection in your blood, or it's specifically maybe leukemia. But there's somebody that's afraid of death. Maybe it's even your family member at this moment. There's like an angel of death over you or over your family. I want you to come out quickly because we want to pray for you just in that moment. Won't you just come if you can respond to that? And then there's also somebody that's got massive pain in your knees, both knees at the moment. We want to quickly pray for you. Won't you just come to the front because Jesus still heals. And if you've got any sickness, won't you just come straight to the front because we're going to pray. There's also a lady that's got like a humming voices, like a humming sound in your ear all the time. It started like 3 weeks ago, and God wants to heal you. It's like a noise pitch here in your ears, and the Lord wants to heal you. I want that lady to just quickly come to me first because I want to pray for you specifically. That's got the sound in your ears. About 3 weeks ago it started. Where are you? That's not you. Okay. Won't you just, is that you? With noise here through your ears. Okay. We just want to take some oil, and we want to anoint you. Thank you. Cecile, so yes, I'm with my bed for that instead. If you need healing in your body, why don't you come to the front? We're gonna just sing a song, and then minister to these people. And then I want us to do something important just before we leave, okay? One more thing. If you need healing, if you need prayer, it's going tough in your life, these burdens that you're not supposed to carry, then that's what the church is for. This is an amazing church. It's amazing pastors, amazing people here. I've known them, Pastor Mario and Andres, for more than 15 years, and they're really people of integrity. If you don't have a church in Hermanus, come and join this church. We would love to pray for you. You need to belong in a family. Please don't be offended. We know many people have got reason to be hurt in church. And let's pray for you for that offense, because we don't want you to become lonely or just do stuff on your own. So if you're struggling with offense, struggling with hardness of heart, struggling to trust people, we'd love to pray with you. But one thing, before we're going to go, I want you to turn to somebody as we're going to, just as we finish this song, I want you to pray together with somebody else that Jesus will light that flame in your heart before you go out. Is that all right? One deal. Pray with somebody that you look Jesus in the eyes and just consecrate yourself and say, God, I want that flame in my heart. I want to be filled with your word in this time. So we're going to just minister to each other a little bit because that's what church is about. Okay, if you're a bit shy, then let somebody just pray for you. But won't you just stand with us as we're going to finish with one last worship song. And just when we finish, then we're going to pray for each other. And there's amazing coffee at the back. Thank you, Pastor Lisa. Coffee and some drinks. Come and enjoy some time with us. Don't just rush off. Come and get to know the leaders here. So let's all stand as we're going to just finish off with a song and going to minister to each other. If you need any prayer, won't you just come to the front and we're going to pray with you.
Heaven's mercy.
Hallelujah. We can just pray for each other just 2 or 3 minutes. And then you're welcome to drink some coffee and enjoy the moment. But let's not go out of this moment. If you still need prayer, won't you come to the front? We'd love to pray with you. But the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you in this week. Amen. And He gives you peace. When His face shines on us, that's when life comes.